Pam Ayres MBE joins us now on a beautiful spring morning, which would move even the worst of us to poetry, Pam. It must do something for you, this sort of weather.
It's very uplifting, certainly. I haven't been moved to poetry so far, but it's certainly glorious to just feel the spring in the air and see the buds fattening and all the nice things that are going on.
Yeah, I mean, in your part of the world, you are a resident of Gloucestershire.
Yes.
Yeah, and it is beautiful. Is it the Cotswolds? How would you define...
We are in the Cotswolds,
you're
in the Cotswolds. Yes.
But you were in the Cotswolds before the Cotswolds was the Cotswolds.
Yes, before it became the height of fashion, yes. It's very fashionable now. I'm not sure that's a good thing, but it is a gorgeous place to live and we're so lucky.
What have you seen just in the last couple of days that give us hope of a glorious summer?
Well, quite a lot, because I've spent an unwise amount of money in 2019 on 22 acres of land to manage for wildlife, because I hate the fact that it has declined so much from when I was a child. As when I was a child, you were surrounded by wildlife and there were voles along every brook and you could go and catch roach and dace and trout, and there were thousands of swifts and swallows and dozens of hedgehogs, and I've seen it all go. And it's heartbreaking to me. And so anyway, I bought this piece of land and we've dug a big pond and we've put up lots of owl boxes and bat boxes. And it's quite extraordinary what has flocked in. Now, it might not be very interesting to everybody, but I've got so many toads now in the pond. And I walked around the edges of the pond and counted 75 toads all piggybacking and getting on with breeding. And it's lovely because I don't know where they've come from. I never see a toad at other times of the year.
How would I recognise a toad as opposed to a frog? What?
They're warty. They have pustules on their skin, which are toxic, actually. So it's best not to pick them up and fondle them, should you be tempted. But, you know, they're part of the chain of wildlife. And I don't know where they were, but suddenly this time of year they all flock into my pond and I love it. And also the other day I was there and there's a lovely pair of green woodpeckers that go swooping across the field, and there are hares. So this time of year they go racing madly across a field, and there are little muntjacs, which don't really belong here, but they're quite sweet.
They're here anyway. Yeah. They are sweet, but people get very angry with those things, don't they?
I know, but, well, they're here now, aren't they? So we're sort of stuck with them.
Are they destructive?
I don't think... we've planted a lot of trees, a lot of native trees, but I don't think they're as harmful to trees as the fallow deer and the bigger deer that can reach up higher.
Right.
But I'm very lucky because I have got that piece of land, and so I get to see all these lovely things and I sit quietly and just watch, and it's very good for the soul.
Now, your book, your new book, which is out today, it's for children aged between 3 and 7.
Yes.
And it's about the dormouse. Now, the dormouse is am I correct in saying it's a British mammal?
Yes.
And you mentioned the chain. Where is the dormouse's place in the chain?
Well, disappearing, really.
Right.
They used to be very common. They're a native mammal. They live up in trees, which perhaps people don't realise. You don't see them very often because the clue is in the name, the dormouse. They sleep for long, long periods, for months. They hibernate. And also they live up in the trees and they eat berries and caterpillars and nuts. And, you know, they're generally scavenging up there, but you don't see them very much. They've lost habitat, which is why they've disappeared. But they're endearing little animals, and I've been greatly helped by the Woodland Trust and a lovely man called Matt Parkin, who showed me around his woodland that he looks after in Exmoor. And there they have little sooty traps where they put this kind of soot on paper, and then the dormouse walks through and leaves little footprints, and so you can see if they've been there or not. And also they had a little pregnant dormouse that he showed us, and it was the dearest little thing,
what did it look like?
Dormouse with a fat tummy asleep, because they sleep most of the time. So I've had a lot of help from the Woodland Trust, but they are diminishing, which is sad, because again they're part of the chain of wildlife, and it's all losing its habitat.
So at the habitat that they would, you say they're up trees, but they would also have lived in what, in like brambly type areas?
Yes, but they do live up in the canopy of trees, which is unusual for a mouse.
Right.
And the other unusual thing about dormice is that they've got furry tails, because most mice have got scaly tails. Yeah. You know, the house mouse has got a scaly...
Well, that's why they're frightening, because of the scaly tails. But we'd like a dormouse if we saw one,
wouldn't we? A dormouse has got a lovely fluffy tail. I was given the opportunity by Macmillan Children's Books to write about four native creatures of my choice. And the dormouse is suffering and disappearing. So I thought the last book in the series, there's one about an otter, one about an owl, one about a hare, and this last one is about the dormouse. And I just thought they're darling little creatures that deserved a mention. And I've spoken to various schools, and so it's lovely how interested the children are, and how I haven't really spent a lot of time talking to children. I always thought I wasn't very good at it. But I found with this series of books about wildlife, if you sit on the floor with the children and say, anybody seen an owl? You get all these amazing responses of when they've seen them and what they sound like, and you get impersonations, and it's been magical.
Oh, that's lovely. And this book is, I have to say, it's wonderfully illustrated. You could perch a child on your knee, cuddle up, and really get absorbed in this. And there's plenty to talk about, isn't there?
There is. The illustrator is a lady called Nicola O'Byrne, and she's tremendous. And I love these books. I mean, I've worked very hard to make the rhyming story accurate and entertaining, but to pair it with her illustrations has been a genius stroke by Macmillan, I think. I didn't know Nicola. We were put together by Macmillan, and I think it works so well. There's so much detail, and you can point out things in the pictures. There's so much to look at. They're lovely little books. Well, they're quite big books,
actually,
really.
They're big books, and I think that they're actually quite bold. And it just feels an adventure, a cosy adventure.
Yes, good.
Can you just read the first page,
of
couple
course,
of pages?
Yeah, I will. You have to imagine I'm a dormouse. Hello, I am a dormouse, and Dandy is my name. I'm a different kind of mouse. We are not all the same. Some mice live in houses, but I'm not one of these, for I'm a little dormouse, and I like to live in trees. Dormouse is a funny name. It means to go to sleep. I hibernate in winter in a hidden leafy heap. So if you're walking quietly upon the forest floor and listen very carefully, you might hear me snore. I'm a hazel dormouse, and a hazel is a nut. Hazels are my favourite food. I love to eat them, but caterpillars, flowers, bugs and fruit are tasty too, especially blackberries, which can turn my whiskers blue.
Fantastic. I'm transported, but I'm also just lulled into a sense of security. Because, Pam, I won't need to tell you, the world is a terrifying place at the moment.
Yes, I know.
And I wonder whether you have ever been moved to poetry by a current event or by topical matters, or is that not you?
Well, I snipe from the sidelines on Twitter, as it used to be. And I didn't ever want to go on Twitter or X as it is now, because I didn't see the point. But what it's actually given me the opportunity to do is comment on topical things. So I've had a few swipes at Donald Trump and tax and topical things. So I do have a bit of fun with it, but not in an ominous way and not in a serious political way. I have a bit of fun with current events, but there isn't much to have fun with now.
Not right now. I mean, the thing about Trump, there are many things about Trump. His name, it's got to be good for a rhyme.
Mm. Well, the last swipe I took at Donald Trump was about when he said, in order to overcome COVID, you should inject yourself with bleach. And I thought that was so hysterical. I thought I must have a go at that. So that was good fun. But I don't comment seriously on politics. I think other people are much better placed to do that than me. I try and make people smile.
And you have made people smile for, I was trying to work out how long you've been in the public consciousness, and I don't, in any way offensive.
No, not at all.
But you started on a show that I can well recall, Opportunity Knocks.
Yes, I did. I started before that on Radio Oxford, on BBC Radio Oxford, and I like to give them a mention because they were so supportive when I had no confidence.
So you would have been in your, how old were you?
I was about 27.
Right. And you were a local resident. And they gave you a chance.
Yeah, they used to come around the folk clubs recording for the folk programme. And I used to play my mother's ukulele and my guitar and throw in an odd jokey poem. And that's what they liked. And they asked me to write a poem to perform weekly on Radio Oxford. And I was petrified, but they gave me a deadline of 6 months because I didn't know if I could write to a deadline. And they were terrific. And as a result of that, I started to write more of this kind of poetry. I hadn't done it before.
And your household growing up, there were six of you.
Yeah. I had four brothers and a sister, yes. Right. And then mum and dad, so there were eight of us stuffed in our house.
Six children?
Yes.
The youngest or...?
I'm the youngest, yeah.
Okay. And would it be fair to say it was... You weren't members of the artistic community, were you?
No, not at all. I mean, I loved writing. I adored writing. I didn't ever think about poetry. I liked writing stories and anything where I could use my imagination. But it was the poems that caught people's attention, and so I obliged.
Yes.
No, it wasn't. You're absolutely right. I mean, we had no books. We had two books in our house. One was called Character from the Face, which was a series of photographs of people's facial features, like noses and eyes and ears and such like. And that you were supposed to be able to read from those photographs what kind of a person they were, okay. whether they were a cad or could be trusted.
So, was that useful?
No, it was a load of rubbish. And there was another horrible book we had. I don't know where it came from. Somebody must have given it to us, about birds. But the birds had all been given characters. Like there was a sparrow that spoke in horrible Cockney language. I mean, we had two books and they were both horrible. So, no. And the great saving thing for me was that at our school, we had a little library. It was announced that we now had a library. And I went along... I was about 9 or 10, I suppose, and the teacher gave me two books. She gave me Wish for a Pony by Monica Edwards, and she gave me Just William by Rich McCrompton.
Oh, wow, yeah.
And those two books were a revelation.
So you were transported by those books in a way that your books now transport very young children.
Well, I hope so.
Well, no, but that's sort of going full circle, isn't it?
I hope so. I hope children like my books. And when I've read them to schools, they seem to have a very nice response. And I hope it will encourage children to want to look after the wildlife, because there is a chain of wildlife. And there's a guy called Derek Gow, who's a great wildlife campaigner. And he said, people talk about an ecosystem in this country, but it's just like a cobweb that's blowing in the wind. It's all broken, you know. So I'm trying to encourage children to look after our wildlife a bit better than my generation has done.
Do you regret the passing, actually, of children being read to, which increasingly we hear is genuinely under threat? And young kids, through no fault of their own, are turning up at school these days and they've honestly never held a book. They certainly don't know how to open one.
I think that's tremendously sad. There's something lovely about cuddling up with a child and reading a book. And our family still does it. My lovely sons, they prioritise reading to the children. And I, you know, my husband and I, we often go out for a pub lunch on a Sunday. We've got favourite pubs. And you so often see the child in a family group just with a screen, you know, tapping away on a screen and not participating. But I'm not pointing the finger at anybody, but yes, reading is valuable on so many different levels.
Is it true, and I love this fact, that the only poet to have outsold you in Britain is Ted Hughes?
Well, according to the bookseller, I am the second best-selling author writer of poetry since records began, after Ted Hughes.
I mean,
which is lovely, isn't it?
Well, I'd rather you were the best-selling, if I'm honest. But, what, I mean, that's... You have been, it's not like you haven't been noticed. You've got the MBE. Is there a certain snobbery in the fact, and I'm being very careful here, I don't have the MBE, Pam, that you've only got the MBE?
I don't worry about those sort of
things.
Well,
I kind of worry about it on your behalf
a bit. I'm not belittling myself or my achievements, but I never set out to be a poet like Sylvia Plath or any of the proper poets.
But you are a proper poet.
Well, thank you. Yes, I think I am, but I'm. My value is that I can make people laugh and I can home in on subjects that people think about but perhaps don't verbalise. I don't mind that I haven't been made a dame. Why would I want to be a dame anyway? People say that to me a lot now. They say, oh, you ought to be a dame. But it's not something that comes into my consciousness. I perform lots of evenings in theatres and they're always sold out.
People turn out to see you.
They're
always
sold out. And people always laugh and they go home and their mascaras run and that is reward.
It's not something Ted Hughes ever did.
I don't know. But that's my reward and that's ample.
All right, let's hear a poem you've written as a way of ending this lovely conversation. And thank you, Pam. This is about online shopping.
Yeah, this is about online shopping. It's called I'll Have to Send Them Back. Those shoes, they looked so beautiful, so stylish and refined. A little motif on the front, a shapely heel behind. I ordered them and waited for the courier to call. Delivery was swift, he threw them straight across the wall. Through the air they travelled and they landed with a thud. Thanks a lot, I shouted and retrieved them from the mud. But the package had arrived and that had blown away the blues. For what is more uplifting than a nice new pair of shoes? Wrapped in tissue paper, white as snow, the footwear lay. I picked them up admiringly and turned them every way. I placed them on the carpet and with luxury they shone. But having these gigantic feet, I couldn't get them on. I'll have to send them back. I'll have to send them back. The ruddy things are useless. I'll have to send them back. Down the post office, I'll be glaring at the clock, standing in a queue that's going halfway round the block. Oh, I'm done with online shopping. It's just a loser's game. The goods all look enticing, but they go back just the same. Although, that is a lovely dress before me on the screen. I need one for a wedding and that's the nicest one I've seen. Oh, I could cut a dash in that. I'd be dressed to kill. The model's only 17 and beautiful, but still. Where'd I put my credit card? My little plastic friend. Next day delivery. That'll do it. Send.
Fantastic. Pam, thank you very, very much.
Thank you.
What size are your feet?
I'm not going to tell you.
But you're tall.
8.5 they are.
8.5.
But they're big, Jane, and wide and knobbly.
I don't believe it. Lovely to see you. Thank you very much.
Thank you.